Live from the greatest city, in the greatest state, in the greatest country, on the second greatest planet in the solar system, it's episode number 401 of the award-winning Midday with Trey and BK. On today's show, at 11, BK investigates, returns with an inside look at the dating life of one Trevor Bauer. At 10:30, where are we at in society? Are we about to sell Montana to Canada? And a mere minutes, well, you wanted something memorable from last night's Duke-Carolina game, and you got it. Kind of. I'm Trey Elling. Behind the glass today, it's the Horns fantasy sports expert and one-time gigolo, Adam Wagner. What's up, Wags?
What's up, boys?
And the one Jew in a sea of Gentiles here at the Horn, living a trucker lifestyle that includes the fastest cattle prod this side of Dirty Sixth. He is Brad Kellner.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful.
Never responded to my DM, though, so maybe there's some sort of mutual something going on there. I don't know. I don't know what to do next.
No yelling on the bus!
Collinsworth slide in.
Too far.
Were you going Zion there?
Both shoes are still intact.
Okay.
Knees are still intact. I don't cut hard enough. I don't cut fast enough to ever tear an ACL. I'm going to go ahead and do that real quick and make sure I didn't just dig my own grave there. I don't think I am capable of applying force on a cut strong enough that would cause me to tear an ACL. Could be wrong. There's been less athletic dudes than I am out there who have tore up their knee trying to do something athletic. So hopefully those aren't my famous last words right there, but we're okay. We're okay today. Feeling better than a lot of Duke fans, feeling better than Nike worldwide. Their stock took a hit last night, sir.
No kidding.
Went down more than a point. Yesterday, overnight.
Now, we don't have an update on just how injured his knee is, right?
Coach K said after the game it's a mild knee
sprain. Okay, that's what I thought, because you said ACL, so I started to panic and search around. But it's not an ACL injury. It's a mild knee injury. It should keep him out for maybe a week or two. He'll be back by the tourney, though.
Will he be back by the tourney? That's what the question becomes. Because Zion Williamson doesn't have to play another second. He's going to be the number one pick in the NBA draft.
By the New York Knickerbockers.
If your conspiracy theory holds true, which might just be statistically likely, the New York Knicks will win the draft lottery, have the first pick, and select Zion Williamson. Could happen, of course. Could be Atlanta, could be Cleveland, could be Chicago, who knows. But Zion Williamson has done enough. Hell, he would have been the number one pick in last year's draft if he didn't play a second of college basketball. But clearly he's done enough this year in his freshman campaign at Duke to where he doesn't have to step on the floor for another second. He's still going to be the number one overall pick in next year's draft. So now the question becomes, you know, you have a scary moment, and it was very scary. Everybody's pretty thankful that Zion Williamson didn't seriously tear up his knee or anything like that.
Sure.
But it's one of those falls, one of those freak moments that could have led to a serious injury.
Mm-hmm.
And now Zion's had that. He's almost seen the light, if you will, for the course of his basketball career. Now the question becomes, does Zion Williamson ever come back and play for the Duke Blue Devils again, or does he go Nick Bosa? We saw it in college football this year. Guy who got hurt, could have come back and played for the Buckeyes, but the likely number one pick in the NFL draft, Nick Bosa said, yeah, I'm done here. I've already made you fools enough money. I'm not getting paid right now. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure I'm the number one pick and get all that guaranteed money. So now the question becomes, does Zion Williamson ever suit up again for the Blue Devils?
And apparently NBA players are already weighing in saying, Zion, look, you've done some nice things in college, but let's go ahead and sit the rest of this year out, buddy.
Don't do it, Zion. Come back and play for the tournament, for the fans. Do it for the fans.
Trae Young said as much. Donovan Mitchell.
Well, Trae Young sat out the second half of last season for Oklahoma with his god-awful play.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's not, well, it actually is very fair.
Very accurate.
And it's partially the fault of ESPN for putting that much pressure on a guy who was bound to go through some sort of swoon during his freshman season.
How about the tweet from Carlos Boozer, former Duke Blue Devil? Did you see
friend
this?
Of the show.
Friend of the show. Friend of the midday program. Carlos Boozer with a tweet of all tweets.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Get well soon at Zion NPS, which is not Zion Williamson's Twitter account. It is actually the Twitter account for Zion National heart.
One of the best national parks in America, located in Utah, I believe.
That's where that is.
I think so, yeah.
So the National Park Service with a nice response saying, thanks. Thanks for that. Appreciate that, Boozer. That's the bad tweet of the night. But what's your take, Trey? I mean, I would love to see Zion Williamson back. I think he's going to come back. You never know how much these kids actually care about their college basketball teams because they're only going to be there for a year. But I think Duke does care about I think Zion does care about Duke, cares about Coach K, cares about playing with his teammates and trying to win a national championship for the Blue Devils. I really believe that. So I think he'll be back. But what about you? I mean, I don't think anybody could blame this guy if he just hangs it up and starts to focus on the NBA draft.
Yeah, he should not come back. Sorry. You start to deal with knee injuries and the possibility of re-aggravating it and doing something more serious the next time around. I understand timetables exist in rehab and you can get the knee back to full strength, but for his sake, for the sake of the New York Knicks who want to draft their franchise player as healthy as possible come June, Zion Williamson needs to go ahead and sit out the rest of the season. Sorry. Hate to say that for college basketball, but then again, I'm not the biggest supporter of college basketball in 2019. I understand exactly what this sport is, and as a selfish fan of what remains of college basketball, I also don't want to see Duke win another title as well. So for selfish reasoning and for Zion's reasoning, I think that he should sit the rest of the season out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't want it to happen. Believe me, I want Zion to be a part of the NCAA tournament that starts less than a month away. Selection Sunday coming up March 17th. But I want him to play and I want Duke to lose. Like, those two things could still happen, right? I mean, I know Duke's the prohibitive favorite going into last night's game, and if they have a fully healthy roster, they're going to be your favorites to win the national championship this season. But I don't want any excuses for the Blue Devils. I want them to have everybody and someone to knock them off. But I want to watch the best players compete the rest of the college basketball season and, of course, into the tournament. So selfishly, I would love Zion Williamson to come back. But once again, I mean, this dude, I'm not going to be naive and act like Zion's playing for free. All you people who are saying he's playing for free, don't
that
be ridiculous.
It is so obnoxious to keep seeing that on Twitter.
Don't be ridiculous. You know better than that. It happens at every school. It sure as hell is happening at Duke. You don't get the top three recruits in the country in a college basketball world in which everybody's throwing money around, and that's not speculation at this point. That's been proven that schools are throwing money around.
Yes.
You don't get those three guys, especially Zion Williamson, the transcendent player like he is. He's not playing for free at Duke. So, but once again, it's not the type of money you're going to get in the NBA. You want to get that contract. So if anyone's going to be critical of Zion for deciding, if he does decide to hang things up, that's a little bit ridiculous, man. This is a sport, all college sports. Zion's made millions of dollars for everybody else except himself. For ESPN and their TV networks, for Duke. You look at the ticket prices for last night's game. You couldn't get into Cameron Indoor for less than $3,000, which that sucks. You drop 3 stacks or 5 stacks or 10 large to go watch that game, and the main reason you go watch that game gets injured 33 seconds in. That sucks. But he's done enough for Duke if he does decide to hang it up. I'm not going to be critical of him, but I don't want it to happen.
Well, that was the third physical ailment to strike the Elling household last night. Zion Williamson's injury less than a minute into that basketball game that tipped off at 8 o'clock
last
night.
What happened to your shoulder? What's the second physical element?
Sand Ellinger still feeling pretty good. No, nothing on the shoulder front necessarily.
Dude, I hope Ellinger sues you for that crap nickname. I hope he's got some sort of lawsuit here.
It's spelled differently because my last name is Elling, so I have the last name as well.
Well, then the city's going to sue you. The city of Ellinger, Texas, where Ruska's is, that dank kolache place on 290 on your way to Houston.
Or maybe Ellingsburg, Germany, which is...
Don't bring Germany into this, please.
Sorry, that's just the...
I got some beef with those guys still.
City in the country that my family has named after, or something along those lines. But anyhow, yes, third physical ailment to strike the Elling household last night started with my daughter projectile vomiting at school yesterday that got her out of school a couple of hours early. Mom went to grab her and had her posted up on the couch watching movies, eating saltines, and trying to stomach whatever she could to keep her appetite, not to end up too malnourished. So that happened. Then eventually Calvin gets home, my 2-year-old son, and mom decides to give them a bath while I'm making my way home from work at 7 o'clock. And apparently at some point during bath time, they love to play and like jump and like splash into the water. Well, at some point Calvin like nicked his ear on bottle cap or something along those lines, split the top of his ear open that made him look a little bit elven, but also required a trip to the emergency room for 8 stitches. So
his ear was bleeding like everybody in America's were after Fergie sang the national anthem at the All-Star game last year.
Well done there. Something along those lines. So I get this call when I'm literally 5 minutes from pulling up to the house. Hey, are you close to home? I have to take Calvin to the emergency room. And I said, Calvin to the emergency room? What's going on here?
Awfully nonchalant from your wife there.
Yeah, just frustrated because it had been a long day for her, unfortunately. And so I'm like, emergency room, what's going on? She gives me a quick explanation, and I'm actually on the phone with Kevin when I walk into the household to see what's going on here. She's like, I'm just going to warn you, it's not very good. I'm like, all right, so there's a little bit of blood. I'm not somebody who's bothered by blood necessarily. I know some people are. Some people can't look at blood on somebody else, like a wound or a gash or something like that. It causes them to pass out. That's not me necessarily, especially when it comes to my kids. So I'm on the phone with Kevin as I'm walking in to examine what's going on with Calvin before she takes him to the ER. And at the same time, my wife asks, are you okay with the sight of blood? Kevin asks, is he okay? Because I'm explaining to him what's going on. And I say, yes, I'm okay. Responding to my wife, and Kevin's like, no, you jerk. I'm not asking if you're okay. I'm asking if Calvin's okay. I'm like, no. There's like, you two literally just asked the same question at the same time, but with a slight variation. So end up seeing what's going on with Calvin. May have a little bit of a Spockier going forward. Sorry about that one, buddy.
Oh, but, like for good?
I don't know about for good.
Peace is gone?
Maybe some plastic surgery involved
in his
near future.
Let's ask friend of the program, Evander Holyfield. Can we get him back on the air? If there's a guy who knows something about growing ears back, it'd be him.
I thought about that as well because it's right there on that top part of the ear that it was like clearly split open and bloody, and his hair was all bloody as well. So they went to the emergency room. They make it back by about 10:30. But if there is a silver lining to that situation, BK, it was that it allowed me to watch more of the Duke North Carolina game last night than I was planning on, because we have one TV in the household. So I have to
whole house.
I have to keep my wife's. There's one in the mother-in-law room, which is where my my buddy is crashing right now.
For so he a has few access, months, but it's been 8 years. Yeah,
something like that. Congratulations to him on getting a job. So I have to keep her in mind when I'm thinking of what to watch on television after the kids go down. And so what I figured would happen is that I would keep an eye on the game. I would probably have the game on my phone on the ESPN, Watch ESPN app, and if it got to a point in the game where I needed to be able to see a larger screen on what was going on, then I would ask that we pause Game of Thrones or whatever it is that we would be watching last night to check out the end of the game. So instead, she goes to the hospital with my son.
Nice.
My daughter is sleeping. I get to watch the game, and that's pretty much what I turn on to, is them showing replays of Zion Williamson going down with that knee injury.
So you're saying you want your son to get hurt more often so you can watch more sports, because that's what I took from the story.
Not saying that necessarily. And if I'm being perfectly honest, I was wondering just how soft Calvin was going to be as he continued through this life. He's a crier, and he's got a good fake cry as well. Got to say, pretty proud of the kid right now. He was he showed some toughness just in terms of dealing with the injury at home. Apparently, he held it together pretty well at the hospital as well. So, tip of the cap to my son Calvin for not being a softy.
I'm sure he's listening right now. Very happy to hear that. Well, damn, glad he's okay. That sucks. That sucks. Never want to have to go to the ER for anybody.
No,
but especially not for an infant child. It's not really a story, unfortunately. I almost feel bad for North Carolina, because they played a hell of a game last night. It's obvious Duke was discombobulated and disjointed on offense and really on both ends of the floor once Zion Williamson got hurt. I mean, he's the best player in the country. Even if you have two other top five picks on your team and other McDonald's All-Americans, stuff gets messed up. You got a whole game plan around Zion Williamson, and when that goes to you-know-what 30 seconds into the game, it throws a wrench into your plan a little bit. So not everybody's going to credit UNC as much as they should, but Carolina played a hell of a game, man. Luke May, 30 points, 15 boards. That dude was a menace.
Yeah.
Duke had no answer for him defensively.
They were all over the offensive glass, too.
Carolina put up 88 points last night, Trey. They shot 2 of 20 from downtown.
Yeah.
Carolina's one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. This is not a Texas situation where you're mad at them for shooting threes. Like, they've got some of the best three-point shooters in the country. They just weren't knocking him down, but they were so efficient everywhere else on offense, especially in the painted area, they still found a way to put up 88 points on the road against the number one team in the country.
Yeah, and I'd say that Duke, they were, you're right, they were obviously discombobulated on both ends of the court. That was especially evident on defense, though, because Coach K, for whatever shortcomings his teams tend to have, they usually not only play hard on defense, they're also well-disciplined on defense. They were playing a lot of man last night, and they were losing guys all over the place. North Carolina, which is a good passing basketball team to begin with, had all sorts of open looks right around the basket because guys were finding that open space, and their teammates were hitting them with the ball right there, and they had little chippies to go.
I'm telling you, man, if Zion doesn't play. I picked Duke to win last night. I didn't foresee Zion Williamson getting hurt. Now, I didn't think they'd cover the 9 points just about every time Duke and Carolina meet, regardless of where the game is played. Those contests come down to the wire. So I thought we'd have a good one, but I figured, okay, I'll give the nod to the home team. Duke's the number one team in the land. They've got things figured out right now. If Zion doesn't play, or if any of the big three freshmen get hurt for Duke, Carolina's my pick to win the national title this year because they've got everything. And you look at the last three national champions in college basketball, twice Villanova and once North Carolina, you've got a mix of really talented, athletic young players, but also experience. That's what Carolina has, man. They've got experienced guys who have been made deep tournament runs before, won a national championship before. They've got a Hall of Fame coach. They've got experience. They've got talent. If Duke isn't 100% going into the tournament, Carolina's going to be my pick to win it all in college hoops.
And Roy Williams has gotten smart with understanding the landscape of college basketball. They brought up the stat last night, BK, that there were seven guys combined on the rosters for those two teams that were McDonald's All-Americans, and I think six were Duke players. So Roy Williams will cherry-pick McDonald's All-Americans from time to time, and he will accept the one-and-done type players from time to time, but he also has done a good job of getting guys who stay with the program for at least a couple of years, if not longer.
Yeah.
And that experience has shown over the last five-plus years now as we've seen this team win a national championship.
The two leading scorers last night and on the season for UNC, Luke May and Cameron Johnson, are both seniors, right? How often do you see seniors in college basketball anywhere, but especially at a big-time program like UNC? Those guys have developed. They've learned from one of the best. But we'll see what happens with Zion Williamson. Just a bummer, though. That game was so hyped up.
Hated it.
Surrounding Zion, obviously ticket prices were ridiculous. I mean, you had Barack Obama in the house. Spike Lee was in attendance. Ken Griffey Jr. was there as well. Everybody and their mother was watching this game on TV. And, well, really, you could have turned it off after 33 seconds into the contest once Zion got hurt. By the way, a little sneakerhead bit. What are you doing, Zion, wearing the PG 2.5s? What are you doing?
Yeah.
This is like some of the cheapest Nike basketball shoes out there, and they're meant for light, versatile players. Like, come on, that should never happen. But shoe malfunctions do occur with basketball shoes. You could tell Zion had worn those shoes a lot. You got to pick a heavier, more sturdy shoe, man. Come on.
He's also just one of those guys who is obviously has some bulk about him, so he wears shoes heavy. I've heard about this. I feel like this came up on our show sometime in the last couple of weeks, but I can't remember who it was from. There was a Texas basketball player who used to blow through shoes like this as well, and I would guess this is not the first pair of shoes that Zion Williamson has just ripped to shreds. Unfortunately, this would not only happen on national television, also led to a little bit of a knee injury as well.
God, ESPN, they're probably so ticked. They pumped this game up. They've become Zion Center instead of Sports Center, and then for this to happen.
They pick a college basketball player every year
every
to do
year.
This with
it
now.
It was Trae Young last year, right? Remember the Trae Young score counter? When you were watching a game between like Texas and K-State, they would show you how many points Trae Young had throughout the broadcast.
Yep.
God, nobody cares. All right, so there's that news, Trae Young. Not Trae Young, Trae Elling. Also, I don't know if this is news, but anytime there's an update to the potential reinstatement of the Texas A&M rivalry in football, we feel like we should bring it to you. Of course, we brought this up in January in an interview with the Austin American-Statesman. Texas A&M President Michael Young and UT President Gregory Fenves were asked about restarting the rivalry. Both men said they were in favor of renewing it. Of course, they haven't played since 2011. But both guys publicly came out and said, yeah, well, we got to work some things out behind the scene, but we'll make it happen. We're in favor, at least, of making it happen. And now, thanks to a public records request submitted by somebody, They were able to find some emails sent from Michael Young. Of course, Texas A&M, a public university, so they're able to access some of these emails that he sent out. Michael Young had been asked a lot about the Texas versus Texas A&M contest, whether or not this game would be restarted on the gridiron. And the same response from Michael Young on all of these emails said, quote, "The topic is of interest to many for or against, and we're open to the discussion in line with what is best for the schools. There are a variety of reasons that this will be unlikely to happen, including separate conference schedules and scheduling many years out," end quote.
You know what? I take this back, BK, to the town hall that Del Conte held at the start of this month where he addressed the subject. I don't know if it was asked of him or if he brought it up on his own, but he brought up Texas and A&M and whether or not they play again on the football field, and he essentially made it sound like at the time that Texas was more willing of the two to try and work something out, that he had reached out to A&M Scott Woodward about the 2022-23 seasons where both teams have availability on their non-conference schedule, and the Aggies declined, citing their contract with Miami. So both teams do have openings on the non-conference schedule starting, I think, in the 2021 or 2022 season. They could play annually going forward. Yes, it would be a second Power 5 opponent on the schedule and a rival at that, but the opportunity does exist for these two teams to come together to make something happen along those lines. And I'm sticking with what I said after that town hall meeting. Texas is more willing to let this happen than A&M is, because A&M probably feels like they have a lot more to lose by scheduling this year to year, knowing where Texas is right now as a program versus where they're trying to get to.
Yeah, and I think there's people from both sides who want this game and people from both sides who don't want this game. A lot of A&M fans feel like they're fine in the SEC. And look, they've got one of the toughest schedules in the country year after year by having to play in the SEC West. I mean, I would love, we're both on favorite, we've said this countless times, I would love for this game to come back, but maybe that's part of the equation as well. Right, A&M knows that Texas is generally a good football team. A&M already has to go up against Alabama and LSU and Mississippi State and Ole Miss and Arkansas. At some point, they'll probably figure some things out. And then a couple of SEC East teams every year. Maybe that's part of the equation as well. Trey, I am intrigued to see today's Thursday, the Texas A&M Student Senate will hold a vote to see if students support restarting the rivalry. Now, obviously, the students don't have the final call. They don't really have any say in this thing. But UT held a similar vote last year with the Student Senate. 96.7% of voters voted in favor of playing A&M again. So I'm curious what the A&M student body is like. Not that it's going to affect anything that actually happens, because this is all politics and it comes from high-paid guys wearing suits and ties. But I am curious what the on-campus feel is in College Station for this rivalry.
You know what? I feel like the students will vote that they do want to resume the rivalry, more so than some of the old-time fans. Like Chad Hastings talks about it on the show all the time. His dad, who is a longtime A&M fan, graduate from there many years ago, he wants nothing to do with Texas at this point. I feel like that is the old guard attitude regarding renewing this rivalry. I'm hoping that amongst the younger people, people who maybe have friends at the other school, they're excited about the possibility of getting together once a year to celebrate the fact that both football teams are finally back on the field together.
We can only hope. Nothing set in stone. Doesn't sound like anything's close to set in stone just yet. All right, so there's some Zion talk, some Texas A&M talk as well. Coming up next, where are we at in society today? Something's going on in another country. That's not my best tease, but that's all I can remember from the story. So we'll tell you what that is.
Is the U.S. about to sell Montana to Canada?
Oh, yeah. Ooh, in exchange for a first-round pick? Got to be down. So we'll have that conversation, our movie review coming up. We're having some fun. It's a Thursday edition. Trey and BK on the horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK, the Midday Movie Review at 11:40 on Thursdays, every Thursday, now that we're to the football offseason, is Van Wilder this week. Wags, is this a song from Van Wilder?
It is, Trey. This is The Living End, Roll On.
All right. Before we get back into things.
All right.
Yeah, this, you know, this is a style of music that I'm not that crazy about. I know plenty of people who love it, but it's just not my cup of tea, but to each their own.
Really? People love this type of music?
They do.
I feel like this is just one of those phases where you kind of look back on and was like, why? Why was I into that?
Like Blink 182?
Apparently they're an Australian band, according to Dave Howard. He's a huge fan.
I am!
Are you an Australian guy?
Yes!
Oh, that's news.
Does that
Dave in the Cave, a.k.a. Doc, is an Australian guy.
Does that mean you're fluent in a second language, according to one Brad Kellner?
Yeah, it's
bloody hell right, mate.
Oh, see? Oh, the language barrier.
That was really good.
I told you, there's a language barrier. I didn't understand a damn word he said.
He is our
the language
guy.
Barrier. Nah, good dude, Dave in the Cave. I did like Blink 182, I guess.
Oh, well, there you go.
I didn't like that those guys nearly as much as I like Blink 182.
That's a version of what Blink 182 does.
But then again, I haven't listened to anything recent from Blink 182. Everything I listened came out when I was like 7 years old.
Well, their lead singer actually quit the band to commit himself full time to investigating UFOs. Tom DeLonge or DeLong or whatever his name was. Yeah,
because
I heard Travis Barker on the Joe Rogan podcast a couple weeks ago. And the name came up, and he's like, yeah, we've talked about getting back together, but he's fully committed to finding alien life form and UFOs right now, so he quit the band.
Wow. Interesting bit right there.
Good luck to him on that
one. Yeah, hopefully he finds something.
I don't know if there will be alien life form at Hornbash this year, but I do know there's going to be a lot of really good barbecue. The Louis Miller Barbecue Cook-Off is back for Hornbash 2019. One of the best 40 of the best barbecue teams will be facing off at Buck's Backyard on May 4th to bring you the best brisket, ribs, chicken, and more. And this year, we're adding a People's Choice category where you get to vote on your favorite team specialty dish. If you want to be one of the 40 teams to compete, head over to hornbash.com to be entered into the Hornbash Barbecue Cook-Off Lottery to be considered. Make sure to stay tuned to The Horn on air and on our social media for all things Hornbash, presented by Reliable Automotive. BK?
Hornbash.com does exist now as a website. Be sure to sign up for that barbecue cook-off ASAP, man. That thing filled up fast as hell last year and probably will do the same this year.
And that's why they're doing a lottery this year, too, because there's only so many teams, and we'll probably get triple to quadruple the number of teams that want to actually compete.
To be a part of that and be listening for ways to pick up your free Hornbash passes. I think that's what we're calling them this year. Looking forward to that. We will get into BK Investigates coming up in about half an hour with a story into the personal life of Trevor Bauer, one of the least liked players in all of Major League Baseball right now.
He's a D.
Good Sports Illustrated report that I delved into along with some other research, some other investigating that I forayed in last night.
Sounds like he could be your idol when it comes to dating.
There are some admirable quotes and admirable qualities that Trevor Bauer does possess that I do enjoy, that 24-year-old BK very much enjoys, but I have a feeling 44-year-old BK probably would not enjoy. But we'll get to that coming up in about half an hour. The interview with Bert Kreischer coming up at noon, but right now we've got bits to do. We do it every day at about 10:30. Here we go.
Where are we at in society today?
This segment brought to you by Student Loan Payment Lawn Care. Call or text Jake today for a free estimate, 512-653-0687. First-time clients receive 25% off. Visit slplawncare.com for more details.
BK, earlier this week on the show, we talked about biases among states. Here in Texas, people outside the state assume that we either owned or rode a horse to school when we were kids. We also talked about Kansas and California, but the state of Montana did not come up. Do you know anything about the state of Montana, or do you have any preconceived biases about that state?
They've got their FCS team, their FCS football team. I think it's the Grizz. Montana Grizz is the state school. They're generally pretty good at football. That's it. I couldn't tell you a city in Montana. I assume it's
Billings.
Cold.
Billings, Montana.
But.
Okay. But what?
Butte.
Butte, yeah.
Butte? Is it Butte or is it Butte? I've never heard of that.
I was always told Butte.
Oh, is that Crested? Is Crested?
No.
Okay, I see that on shirts all the time. I don't know what the hell that is either. No, I just assume it's cold. Probably snows a lot. I feel like there's a bunch of mooses running around up there and other big
just
cold
moose.
Animals.
Plural for moose.
Well, I would
moose.
Guess there's more than one moose up there.
Plural for moose is moose.
No, it's mooses. Check your facts on that. No, long story short, no, I couldn't tell you a single thing about Montana.
I would guess that most people don't have a great answer for what Montana consists of, which is part of the reason why people apparently also think of Montana as expendable. With America's national debt continuing to grow, a group of citizens have created an online petition to sell the treasure state, yes, that's one of its nicknames, to Canada.
Ooh, they got treasure there?
I don't know.
I got to get one of them old folks gold detectors and get up there.
They also call it the big sky state, too. So I don't know if they just have bigger skies there than we do everywhere else. But yeah, the treasure state, it's being suggested that it gets sold to Canada to help with the national debt for $1 trillion.
Well, first thought, I'm going to bring a ruler next time I'm in Montana to measure the skies. Because I don't buy that for a second. So these are people in Montana. These are Montanian citizens who started this plea, or is this Canada trying to acquire some more land here?
Montanites, Montanonians. I'm not sure what it is, but yes, it's people from Montana who are suggesting that they get sold to Canada. That way they become Canadian citizens. They have access to the free health care that is up in Canada as well. And it also helps with the U.S. national debt. Now, here's the thing, though, about the U.S. national debt, BK. It's been growing at a rate of $1 trillion per year for the last few years and currently sits at $22 trillion. So I'm not sure how much of an impact selling away Montana would make on the national debt.
How much does Montana want for itself?
$1 trillion.
Not worth it.
10,000 people have actually signed this petition
so far. I'm not sure Canada would pay $100 for Montana. I don't think anybody wants them.
So it would be a long-term investment for Canada if they were to buy Montana. Montana is the fourth largest state in this country in terms of size, 41st most populated, with an annual economic production of $45 billion. So you take into consideration how long it would get up to $1 trillion. It's not just a couple years off. So that would be a long-term investment for Canada, but still one they should maybe consider.
How's Canada's debt? What are they looking like? I'm thinking in terms of maps. I like the map the way it is.
Yeah.
Like countries like such as the Iraq and South Africa. I like where they are on the maps. And I like where Canada stops right now. It just, it all makes sense.
Yeah, there's a fluidity. There's a nice aesthetic to the map other than Florida, the flaccid member of our country, just kind of flapping in the wind there over in the Caribbean. But other than that, the rest of the U.S. map looks pretty good.
So who do we add to get to the 50th state? Because that's another concern of mine. Do we bring Puerto Rico into the fold?
Maybe. We split California up into two states.
Well, I feel like there's a lot of expendable states out there. That's almost like a power rankings bit we could do. Most expendable states. I mean, Montana's got to be near the top because nobody gives a rat's ass about Montana. But can we combine a couple of states? I feel like one of the Carolinas is expendable.
You want to make a territory?
Half the Northeast has to be. All those small-ass states that you can't even see on a map, those are expendable.
Just turn them into one.
I don't care that they're the 13 colonies. Just call it New England so we can trim down the fat a little bit. Dakotas, don't need two of those. One of them's expendable.
You're saying go Dakota?
You can go Dakota Fanning. I don't care.
So should we?
Dakota Prescott, whatever.
So should we go just one Virginia then versus Virginia and West Virginia?
Just get rid of West Virginia altogether. We'll sell out to Canada. We'll pay Canada to take West Virginia. Nobody wants them. I'm trying to think who else. Some of the states in the deep south we might not need.
Can we sell
too much incest going on over there? We don't need that.
Can we sell Florida to Mexico maybe or something?
Just cut Florida off. Just bring a chainsaw or
Florida's
a table saw.
Pretty much their own country anyway.
Just push it in the ocean a little bit. Maybe California too. Let's trim the fat here.
All right,
let's trim the fat here. Well, interesting. I wasn't expecting to have to follow a story involving not conference realignment, but country realignment in the world today. Montana could be on the move to Canada.
$1 trillion. Which
cash considerations. So if we do that, if that trade is made, I'm getting a custom USA basketball jersey that says cash considerations as the name. Don't forget about that.
Future spending in the international market.
Absolutely, yeah. A draft slot for a future state. Love it. All right, there's where we at in society today. Coming up next, some special guests joining us in studio. Trey's going to lead this interview. It's about volleyball, but a pretty cool thing. Pretty cool cause.
There's a family in need in the area, and they're doing something really cool to help out with that.
Absolutely. So we'll welcome a couple of guests in next. Plus, BK Investigates, about 25 minutes away. It's a Thursday edition. Trey and BK on the horn.
Back here on Midday with Trey and BK. More music from the movie Van Wilder, which we will be reviewing at 11:40, followed by a conversation with a guy who was such a wild man in college that he was the inspiration for the movie, comedian Bert Kreischer, who's actually in town for some stand-up. That'll be tomorrow night at the Paramount. A couple of shows there. Go to BertBertBert.com to get those tickets. Great conversation with Bert Kreischer. We talk a little bit about the Van Wilder thing, but a whole lot more as well. Movie review at 11:40, conversation at noon. But right now, we are honored to be joined in studio by Bobby Jones. He's the owner and founder and head of athlete development with the Project Serve Beach Volleyball Club. And he's in studio today to tell us about something really cool going on in a couple of weekends that's also helping out a family in need in the Austin area. Bobby, thank you so much for the time. Man, how you doing today, man?
BK, Trey, thank you guys so much for having us in, man. This is an honor.
Absolutely, Bobby. And before we get to the details of what's happening in a couple of weekends and why you're putting this on and who you're raising that money for, just tell people a little bit about what Project Serve is all about.
Well, Project Serve is a full-time beach volleyball events and training company. We're located at the Domain, but we also have partnerships in two other areas, one at Lake Travis High School and one down in Kyle at the Rail House. First and foremost, we're a training tribe. So my assistant coaches and I, we train full-time. We host events, tournaments, leagues, the whole nine yards, which you can normally imagine. And then we also have a very stringent mission to give back to the community, but not only to, you know, organizations like Boys and Girls Club, Aid Services of Austin, places that we've worked with in the past, but we've also been moved this year to really give back to the individual family and the community.
And you've done a lot over the years, and you hold various events throughout the year as well that benefit those various organizations. But
right.
I'm glad you're focusing on a specific family this year, because you told me a little bit about this family off the air, and the story tugs at the heartstrings. So before
really
we get
does.
Into the specifics of
sure.
the event itself, I
sure.
want you to tell us a little bit about this family and why it is that you're helping them out.
Absolutely, man. Well, you know, when we launched Project Serve, it was based on a mission to really give back to the community. We were approached by a friend of ours in the community, and it's actually the second family that we've been able to help out in the last 6 months. But our friend Amanda came to us, and her aunt was stricken with a very pervasive, actually two really pervasive types of cancer. She's a volleyball coach here in Central Texas, and she has two kids that play volleyball on her own, and she coached both those kids. She actually coached our friend Amanda and taught her how to play the game as well. So you've got this mom who's a coach. She's a fixture in their community. And she's stricken with this pervasive type of cancer, and it's advanced so quickly she's already lost the ability to speak. And so, you know, at this point, she's trying to hang on and try to, you know, watch her youngest daughter finish out her senior year of volleyball. It kind of gets me going even just talking about it. But dad is working 7 days a week to pull things together, and we just want to support that family.
So the event itself is called California Dream. It's coming up next week. Tell our listeners, people who aren't involved yet, how they can be a part of this thing and how they can contribute to this great cause.
Thank you so much, BK. So if you can go to ProjectServeVB.com, that's ProjectServeVictorBoy.com, you'll see it on there on the front page. We've got two young, up-and-coming, high-energy, amazing professional beach volleyball players, Chase Frischman and Troy Field. They're coming in from Los Angeles, California. They are fantastic. They're electrifying to watch on the tour. They have a great social media presence. You guys can check them out on Instagram. But basically, we're flying them in to kind of help us bridge the gap and disparity between skill level, you know, there in California to what we have here in Austin. And it's a 3-day event. We have, you can look at the entire itinerary online. Our front page is really well laid out. My assistant Molly's done a fantastic job getting our front page just real squared away. So you guys can check that out. But yeah, Saturday, March 2nd is the blind draw 4-on-4 tournament. And 50% of the proceeds are going to go to help the Mahan Garibay family.
And this is for all skill levels as well. You're doing a co-ed clinic on Thursday, February 28th. You're actually doing a junior event as well, a youth clinic on Saturday, March 2nd.
Absolutely.
Some other things going on in between as well. And that's ProjectServeVB.com to
yes,
find
sir.
Out the details.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, this is open to everybody, right?
It's
you don't have to be a
yeah.
trained, skilled volleyball player. If you just kind of want to check it out or learn yeah. a couple of things, if you're just getting started, you
absolutely.
Can come out there.
Absolutely. You sound interested. I think we
you
should
You don't
hang.
Want me out there, man. I'll bring down the overall athleticism at this event down a ton right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no previous skill required. Obviously, you know, a passion for, you know, being around people, being around the sport is, you know, will help. But like I said, Chase and Troy are really phenomenal players. They're young guys. They're super outgoing. They have great energy. Troy's been out here the last couple of weeks and just developed a great fan following. We have several sponsors involved. U.S. Cryotherapy is one of the sponsors involved. Graphic Guys out here on 290. They're doing all of our signage work. They've been fantastic. Everybody's on board, and we're just so excited to have people come out and support a great cause.
Very cool. Bobby, thank you so much for coming in today. Thank you for giving back to the community, and best of luck with things. I'm sure this is not going to be the last time that we have you on the air to help
you
promote
so much,
something
man.
Like this.
Thank you. Sure. Thank you, guys.
ProjectServeVB.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
Be
yes,
sure
sir.
To check that out. Yeah, still taking registrations, and the event is coming up next weekend. Hopefully we'll get some sun, too, man. We need
yeah,
nicer weather here in Austin, Texas, man.
Yeah, man, we do. We need to get this sort of the bipolar, you know, the
that's
weather.
Why we live here.
Yeah.
Right? So we expect the
well,
sun.
Well, we do,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely like the opportunity to get the good weather in the wintertime. But thank you guys so much, man. And I know the Mahan family really appreciates it as well. Those of you guys who want to check us out on Facebook, we're available at Project Serve Beach.
No Perfect. Doubt. Thanks for coming in, Bobby.
Okay.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, check that out, ProjectServeVB.com. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some BK Investigates, a story about Trevor Bauer that we have to talk about.
Oh, Trevor.
Oh, yeah. That's on the other side. It's Trey and BK on the horn.